So there was this a prayer, just like we just did during the prayer one Sunday. There was a loud whistle from one of the back pews. The little boy's mother was horrified. She shushed him into silence and after church asked, "Whatever made you do such a thing?" The little boy answered soberly, "I asked God to teach me to whistle, and he just then did." So, either we have a young man who had his prayer answered, or he was very quick on his feet when he was thinking about what to say to his mom, one or the other. We'll go with the answered prayer. How about that? Let's go. Let's do that. I'm just kind of going through a few things, sharing with you. Normally, you know, as you know, I preach through books of the Bible or preach through, like we did Judges and we've done Gospel of John, and we'll get back to that. But for the last few weeks and kind of ongoing here, I've been just thinking about preaching about just some of the basic things about Christianity. So we talked about giving for a couple of weeks, and then we talked about Bible reading for a couple of weeks, and now we're going to talk about prayer for a couple of weeks. Just general things that everybody knows probably, but I'm just going to remind you. That's one of the things that pastors are supposed to do. That's what they teach you in Bible college. Just keep reminding people what they're supposed to do. And it's easy to do because, as we have shown through the course of the preaching that I've done, whenever I ask, "What did I preach about last week?" nobody really remembers. So I can say the same things every week, and it would be okay. Everybody would say, "Wow, he is such a good pastor." So today, we're going to just talk about how to pray, and we're going to use one verse in particular. That's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And we're going to take this one verse and kind of unpack it in each phrase that it has. It's very full verse when we're talking about how to pray and how to just talk to God. It's a very concentrated verse. The one thing that I want to do is say it comes at the end of a passage that talks about putting on the armor of God and talks about the spiritual warfare that's what Ephesians chapter 6 is about. And at the end of all of that, put on the gospel, put on faith, put on all these things, then he says these words. So prayer is the culmination of all of that. And it's important for us to remember that we are in a battle that is a spiritual battle. We have to respond a lot of times in a physical way, like filling shoeboxes and sending them off. But we have to realize that shoebox in and of itself is nothing. It's the spiritual war that's going to go on between leaving here and getting to the child. And once the child gets it, the warfare that begins there between God and the forces that don't want him or her to respond to God in a positive way. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Simple verse. One of the first things we notice is the number of times it says all occasions, all kinds of prayers, always keeping on praying, all the Lord's people. All. Repetition is important, and we recognize that. So what we're going to do is just look at each phrase and each couple of words in this passage. So the first one is, "And pray in the Spirit." Now we see the word "and," so that should cause you to say, "Well, and what's the first part?" If you have an "and," there's always at least two parts, right? First and then "and." And I've already shared that with you. And pray after putting on all these other things. So the phrase "in the Spirit" then is a culmination of this idea about Everything that we're doing as Christians is all about the spiritual war that's going on. There are contests within a person, God wanting to do one thing in our life, we wanting to do something else, or Satan wanting us to do something else, or something pulling us away from God. So that in the spirit reminds us that it is a spiritual war. The second thing that it talks about, reminding us, is that in the spirit means that it's not just a physical, it's not just about the words you say. It's not just about how you pray. That happens to a lot of people, particularly when they're asked to pray up front, right? You got to pray in front of people. And so we're really concerned about the words we're actually saying. And the reality is, that's not that important. Well, it is to people sometimes, because you might get criticized for praying silly things, or sometimes we hear somebody pray something and we go, well, that doesn't seem right. But really, the words themselves aren't the important thing. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we got these very familiar words. If I can find Romans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So when we're talking about praying in the Spirit, then, we're talking about praying for, or the words aren't as important as the attitude of our heart, what we're thinking about when we're praying, what we're praying for. Because most of the time, we don't really know for sure what God wants to do in any particular situation. We pray for wisdom. We ask God to direct our path, or we ask God to do something in particular, like heal somebody. Well, the reality is, sometimes God's plan is that this person, it's time for them to go be with him. And we're praying for healing. We want people to be healed. We want people to be well. And God's idea is, right now, that's not the plan for them. But we still pray for that. We should always pray for what we want. Even though I don't know what to pray for, it doesn't mean I shouldn't ask God for what I want to see happen. My philosophy is, you ask for what you want, and you accept what God gives. That's what happens at Christmas time, right, with your kids and grandkids? They ask for a car. They get a shirt. Right? Isn't that the way? Yeah, look at, where's Clarissa in the back, right back there? But it's okay to ask for the car, but you have to be willing to accept what comes your way. What actually happens, because God may say, well, yes, that would be nice for you to have, but I know what's best for you. Here is what I'm going to give you. Here is what I'm going to do. And the Holy Spirit, it says, takes those words. So when you pray in public or with a group of people, don't be so concerned about what you actually say as what God is going to do. The problem sometimes is, and this is kind of a little bit off the track, but sometimes, though, we think that that means we shouldn't be specific about our prayers, that we should be just, you know, God, just do whatever's best. Well, that's not what God wants. What God wants you to do is ask for what you want. Amen. And then let him give what's best. And what will happen is, as time goes on, and the more you know God, the longer you walk with God, you'll start more and more often asking for the things that God wants to give. That's what will happen. You and God will start thinking more alike. And you will be, that's when all of a sudden you seems like, well, the prayers seem to be getting answered more. Well, that's probably because you're starting to pray the way that God wants you to, and that's good. So we want to pray that way. The other thing about in the Spirit is this passage in 2 Thessalonians, and it's a little bit, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Most of Paul's letters that he wrote, he starts with a prayer. He says, I'm writing to you, and then he talks about the things he's thankful for about them, and he talks about prayer. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials you are enduring. This is, by the way, I didn't know that Ross was going to ask for a prayer for his deal with his grandson, but verse 4 is, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Notice that the church, yeah, he's stretching it a little bit. But anyway, the thing is, I want you to notice is that this church is going through some problems. There's trials and persecutions. Persecutions probably meaning things coming from outside the church. Trials meaning things that are happening amongst the people in the church. So there's trials and persecutions. There's problems, right? Well, if we go down a couple of verses, down to verse 11, this is what Paul prays for them. It says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he didn't pray for. He didn't say, I pray to God that your trials would go away and that your persecutions would stop. He didn't pray for that. In fact, one person has said, and I read this and I didn't actually kind of go search it all out to be sure, but one of the things that this person said was that if you read these prayers of Paul in these letters, he never asks to change their situation. He always prays for something spiritual to happen in their lives because of what's going on. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying for the things that God wants to do in people's lives. Now we do ask for the situation to change, and that's okay, but we are mostly concerned about the spiritual health of the person we are praying for, which is why we can pray for boxes like the Operation Christmas Child without knowing the person who's getting it. Because we can pray just exactly what Paul prayed. As we pray for those children or we pray for those boxes, we can say, we pray that these boxes would make the person worthy of his calling, that by his power he may bring to fruition your desire for goodness and every deed. We can just pray the words for that person because God wants this for everybody. We know that. And so, when we pray in the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. It's a spiritual thing that we're doing. It's not, the physical thing is always, when I say secondary, I don't want to make it sound like God doesn't care about those things, but God mostly cares about your spiritual health. That's what God cares about. He wants you to be who he calls you to be. He wants you to live worthy of that calling. He wants you to do all of those things. Just as something to think about this week, and I'm not going to explain it. I just want to say, sometimes I just say things so that you'll think about them. One of them is, God will sacrifice this world to get you ready for the next. And that's a hard thing for us to sometimes realize. God will do that. Not every time, and God does heal, but we need to realize that God is mostly concerned about who you're going to be in him. That's what he worries about. That's what he thinks about. That's what he's trying to do in you. And he will do what is necessary for that. Let's go on to the next thing. I told you, just think about that this week. Something to ponder and to chew on and to think about. So the next phrase in Ephesians is, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. All occasions. There were several women who were visiting an elderly friend who was ill. After a while, they rose to leave and told her, we will keep you in our prayers. The ailing woman said, just wash the dishes. I can do my own praying. You didn't think that was funny, did you? I thought it was kind of true, though, the idea about all occasions. We're praying for people all the time, but sometimes we should be the answer to our own prayers, right? That if somebody needs some help, rather than pray for them, we should help where we can. Now, the problem is, I can wash your dishes, but I have to pray for you too, because I can't change your life spiritually like we just talked about. So instead of praying that somebody should come along and wash the dishes, I wash the dishes and then pray that my washing the dishes will affect you in a spiritual way. So praying in the spirit, but we're also praying on all occasions. If we did that, though, we might find that we have fewer things to pray about, because the problems wouldn't be there because we solved them. And then we could pray about other things. I don't know why sometimes I say the things I do, but that's just what came out right there. Let's look at praying on all occasions. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what we're doing. And I'm going to use a verse here that you probably haven't heard in relationship to prayer before, but it's Revelation 3:20. This is a very famous verse. You've probably all read it 100 times. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And you're thinking, what does that got to do with praying on all occasions? It's probably one of the things that we have to turn our attention around when we think about prayer. Because a lot of times we think about prayer as it's my responsibility in praying to kind of get God's attention. You know, and then you kind of think of it, you may not have thought of it in these terms, but we think that as I sit down to prayer, it means I'm kind of knocking on Jesus' door and so he will open it and listen to me. But the Bible doesn't put it that way. The Bible is more like Jesus is always there waiting for you to talk to him. You don't have to get his attention. He's already knocking. He's trying to get your attention. He's knocking on the door saying, I'm here. You want to talk? Because we can talk anytime. We can talk on all occasions. It doesn't matter whether you're in church, whether it doesn't matter whether you're driving in your car, it doesn't matter whether you're laying in bed, it doesn't matter. God is always ready to talk to you. All the time, on all occasions. Whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're in trouble, whether everything's going great, whether you're at home, whether you're on the road, all occasions. And you can pray in the Spirit on all occasions because God is always there, all the time. Can I say all too many times? Not today. Yes, we can say it over and over and over again. God is always waiting to talk to you. Even if it feels like he's not, he is. Behold, he is standing at the door waiting to talk to you. And that's the picture then of he comes in and he sits down at the table and it's like he's eating with you. What do you do when you have friends over and you're eating? No, not at my house. We just eat. Just shove stuff into our face. Nobody talks, no, but that's what happens when you eat, right? You sit around and you talk and you share things and you talk about what happened yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow and you talk about what's going on in your life and you talk about, that's the picture. God wants to just sit down with you and talk. And he's ready to do that anytime, all the time. It just surprises me and it always affects me almost every Sunday. And sometimes I say this in my prayers, sometimes not, but we're all quiet in here while we're praying and every one of you is talking to God. And that's our God. He can give everybody in the room his undivided attention all at the same time. If I'm talking to God, so are you. And God is not trying to go on, wait, I got to listen to Jack. I got to go listen to Roland. I got to go listen to... No, God is giving everybody his undivided attention all the time. You can pray anytime. It doesn't matter if 1,000 people are praying at the same time you are. God is still ready to hear your prayers and talk to you, to sit with you and talk with you. That's the promise of Revelation 3:20. God wants to sit down, and the great thing about this meal is you don't even have to cook anything. You can just sit and talk with God. And it's like sitting at that meal. The next next part of Ephesians chapter 6 is, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. In James chapter 5, we have this again, just reminding you of things you've heard over and over again. Verse 13 of James chapter 5 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's interesting that as I was reading this week and looking at the inner mix of the kinds of things that they talk about. If you're in trouble, if you're happy, are you sick? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need healing? All these different situations that they mix in together. And we don't always think of, for example, singing as praying. But a lot of times it is. A lot of the songs that we sing, we're singing to God and we are talking to God, and it's worship. So prayer and worship are really, a lot of times, the same thing. When you're talking to God, whether you're singing as a group or singing by yourself, you're talking to God. And there are lots of times when I think that people pray best when they're singing. It's something that we take into account when we're talking about what we do on Sunday mornings. Praising God is talking to Him, and in that sense, it's praying. And it's important for us to realize that's even a request sometimes. We're praying to, for example, this morning, bless my soul. We sang that song. Bless my soul. That's a request. You're asking God to do something. As we sing together, bless my soul. Make me well. Help me whatever. One thing that we rarely do, and probably, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. The second part of this talks about confessing our sins. And it's something that we don't do very well as a Protestant church, to be honest. I think next week we're just going to spend the whole service, just to make up for time loss. We're just going to spend the whole week. Yeah, and it's just going to be me and Carol here because everybody else is going to stay home. But... and maybe Carol won't come either. So, but it is something that we should consider. I said earlier that God sacrifices the physical to get us ready for. Well, sometimes the Bible indicates that a lot of times the reason why we are not physically well is because we're not spiritually well, and we need to confess those things. We need to have an environment where people can confess sins. And that's really hard to do, by the way. You have to really trust people, not just God, to confess sins. And I'm not, really, literally, I am not going to next week ask you to stand up and confess all your sins. But I do need to think about, in our prayer time, somehow working that in so that people have the opportunity to confess sins and that I address that part. And I'm thinking about that. You can pray for me about that. How do we do that? How do we do that part of it? Because it is a petition, by the way, asking for forgiveness. You're asking God to forgive you. That's a request. That's a petition. A lot of things that we do, we don't really think of it because we think of, asking somebody to heal somebody or asking for wisdom or whatever. That's a request. But there's lots of things that we do that are, in fact, requests, even though we don't think of them that way. Asking for forgiveness. Asking for God to bless our souls, asking for, as we sing, all those kinds of things. So praying is talking to God. And sometimes you'll hear people say, well, you know, your prayer shouldn't just be a long list of desires or wants or all those things. And that's probably true. But the reality is most of the stuff we're going to talk to God about is in fact a request. It is a petition. And even when we're just praising God, we're usually praising God and thanking him for answering a request or a praise. So it's all related in there. And God would rather talk to you than not talk to you. So if all you do is ask God for things, that's okay. What I said earlier, as time goes on and the closer you get to God, the more your prayers will be in line with what God wants you to pray. But you got to start praying, by the way. It's not going to happen magically. So if you want to pray the way that God wants us to pray, then you have to do it. So there was this Christian radio station, and this lady called in. And the lady said, Pastor, I was born blind, and I've been blind all my life. I don't mind so much being blind, but I have some well-meaning friends who tell me that if I had more faith, I could be healed. The radio pastor asked her, tell me, do you carry one of those white canes? Yes, I do, she answered. He says, then the next time someone tells you that, hit him on her on the head with your cane and say, if you had more faith, that wouldn't hurt. I just thought that was interesting. Goes along with the idea, though, that it's okay to ask God to take away your blindness, but until he does, whether he does or not is less about your faith and it's more about what God wants to do in your life. Faith is not believing that God will do something. Faith is believing that whatever God does, it's the right thing. And that's a distinction that we need to make in our lives. We go to God because we believe God can answer those prayers, but we accept what God does in our life. In Philippians chapter 4, maybe, it depends on what it is. I don't know, can we? Okay, it's great that you have a place where you can confess your sins and know that you'll still be loved and accepted and trusted and all of those things, and that you can trust people. That's true. And that's the kind of environment that we want to have, not just at CR, but also in our church generally, that a place where we can do that. And it's a process. It's not an easy thing to do. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just telling us to present our requests to God. Are you anxious? Give it to God. Tell God about it. And it says the peace will come to you. You'll probably know whether you've actually given it to God, as depends on whether or not you actually have peace afterwards. As many people have said before, the problem for a lot of us is we present things to God in prayer and everything's great, but when we get up to leave God's presence, we pick up all that stuff and take it with us. Instead of leaving it with God and trusting God to take care of it, instead, we take it back upon ourselves. And we have to learn not to do that. Do not be anxious about anything. That's the one of those, that's a command. How many of you can not be anxious about anything? I don't see any hands up. And mine's only up as an example, not because I can do it. The reality is that it's one of the hardest things to do, is to not be anxious about anything. But trusting God is all about not being anxious about things. And it's hard. So we need to pray for one another in that request too. Pray that people won't be anxious about things, but will be, in fact, be, right before this verse is the term, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the opposite of anxiety, rejoicing. Okay, moving on in the verse. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. In Luke chapter 1, or chapter 21, sorry, Jesus is talking about the end times, what's going to happen at the end of the world when he comes back. And he has these words. It says, be always on the watch. That word, on the watch, is the exact same word that's translated be alert in the Ephesians passage. So it could be translated as be on the alert and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Being alert means you're looking around at the world and you're taking it as it is, but you're paying attention to what's going on. That's what be alert is. Now, we just read, don't be anxious, but be alert. Pay attention. What we don't want to be is Christians who just put their heads in the sand and don't, and it's like not worrying means I just don't look at anything out there. That way I won't have to worry about it. Being alert means keeping watch and paying attention and still not being anxious. So if you're sitting there thinking that you didn't understand that part about my saying it's hard not to be anxious, well, if you find it easy not to be anxious, it's possibly because you're not really paying attention to what's going on. You're not really thinking about what's going on in the world, because there's lots of things going on out there. But we're supposed to be alert, pay attention to those things, and still not be anxious. Be much easier just to go off in the woods someplace and live by yourself and not have to worry about anybody or anything. Just feed yourself and read the Bible all day. That sounds amazing. That would make life much easier. And Jesus says here, pray that a lot of these things wouldn't happen to you, but realize that they are part of your life. They are out there, and you just have to be alert, keep watch, pay attention, and it helps your prayers also, because then you'll have a better idea of what to pray for. Not to change people's situations, but to pray for their spiritual well-being. Tough. The next part of the verse. Oh, man, look what time it is. Next part of the verse says something. Should be after Luke. What's next? Yeah. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. This is what I meant. Okay. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Now write down Luke 18, 1 through 8. You're going to go read that later, and you're going to say, wow, that pastor's such a wise person for putting that passage in there. But Luke 18, 1 through 8 is really a parable that Jesus tells about a woman who goes to an unjust judge. And she keeps going to him, keeps going, until he finally does what she wants. And then Jesus says, and that's an unjust judge. What about the God who loves you? If you keep going to him, what will he do? Yeah, now we want to be careful here because God sometimes says, fine, you keep asking for this, I'll give you this, but you might not really enjoy it after I give it to you. Sometimes that happens. But God in his love says, hey, you think you really want this? You got it. You really want to be a pastor of a church? I'll give you Port Orford. How about that? No, that's not right. That's just, it just suddenly occurred to me that I could put that in there. No, that is not true. This is a great place to be. Great place to serve God. And in that remarks, then the last part, the next one, then skip this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So you have a huge task in front of you this week. Look around. See all these people? You're supposed to pray for them. All of them. You say, well, I try to pray every day, but I can't think of things to pray for. If you prayed for all of the Lord's people, all the things we talked about today, you wouldn't probably do much but pray all week because you got lots of things to pray for. I do this on Sundays when I pray. Everybody's got their head bowed and just before I pray. And I try to look out over all of you and look and I can see all your heads bowed and, you know, I'm just looking to see who's here and I'm thinking about the requests. And the interesting thing is that I pray for you because we're all going to go to heaven and we're going to spend eternity together. And I'm praying that that would be a good place to be. So I'm praying for all of you to grow in a way that heaven is a place that we can look forward to because we're all going to be there together. We're all going to celebrate. We're all going to worship God. We're all going to be working together. We're all going to be doing all the things that God has prepared for us to do in heaven, and we pray for each other so that we will all get there and we will grow in our grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So your challenge this week is to pray for all the Lord's people. The second challenge you have is to pray for the shoeboxes, but also pray for all the Lord's people. No, I won't say the next thing. I'll start something if I say the next thing. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for each person here. I pray that you will, in your love and grace, fill us with the fullness of your Spirit so that whatever situation we're in, whatever problems we face, whatever joys we feel, whatever celebrations come our way, we will always, on all occasions, pray to you, that we will present our requests to you, that we will do this in an act of faith and trust, knowing that you love us and you will do what is best for us. God, help us to pray for all the people in our lives. And God, help us never to grow weary or be tired, but instead, in everything, present our requests to you. And you will just produce a joy and a peace and love in our life. And we thank you for that. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives this week. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.